The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Good morning. Have you ever had that situation where you are reading a book or you're hearing someone tell a story and you can just picture it in your mind? It's just so vivid and real. It's one of the things Jesus did a lot of, was tell parables because he wanted people to create mind pictures. Well, I want you to try and picture this as a situation where there's a mum in her home and the children are playing in the family around about them. And dad arrives home, parks the car out the front. He's got a key. He unlocks the front door and walks in and goes, "Hi, honey, I'm home." And his wife goes, "In here." The kids hear dad. They come running from various places and they smother dad for a few minutes. And he says, "Hey, kids, let's go out the back and play." Can you create that as a picture? Okay. Now let's take that same home, and this time you hear someone climbing in through the window. And you hear footsteps and you know you don't recognise them. And you're sitting there going, "Do I call out?" They stay silent. That adrenaline rush hits and you're thinking fight, flight, confront, flee. What do I do? Same house. Two totally different situations, isn't it? If Jesus was to tell a story in the way that he did back then, he might use something like that example. See, in Jesus' time, he used a lot of stories that were based around agriculture. He used a lot of stories around farming or business and life in the culture as they understood it. And so, as we're going to see in today's story, it's all about sheep and farming. But a lot of people don't necessarily recognise that. But that idea of something in our place, in our culture, in our home, would be the sort of thing he might talk about. Does that make sense? So today, as we look at this story, we want to try and understand what it's like in the culture of Jesus' time, about 2,000 years ago. And this is what Jesus said in introducing this story in John chapter 10. "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Do you see how in that first story that I just told and this one, it's this whole concept around recognizing someone, hearing a voice, knowing that one is safe and able to be trusted. One, you're scared. You flee. Well, when Jesus was telling this, let's ask ourselves the question, who's his audience? Who's he telling it to? And the answer's in that first line, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees." He's talking directly to the Pharisees, the religious leaders, because their role was to be the spiritual shepherds for the people of Israel. They were meant to love and care and lead and nurture and create safety for God's people. But over the last few weeks, we've been looking at John chapter 9. And in John chapter 9, we saw the story of a man who had been born blind. And Jesus had come and he had healed that man. And the Pharisees were livid. They were really upset that he did it. Why? Well, there's a couple of reasons. One was that he had taken dust and spit and he'd mix that together. Did you know that according to the rules of the Pharisees, that's work? That, in their law, you can read it, it constitutes work. And not only did he work by mixing spit and dust, He then used the product of his work on a Sabbath to heal someone on the Sabbath. Like, that's two bad things on one day, on a Sabbath. And so they're really upset about that. They're so upset about that that they cannot see the fact that someone who's been born blind, someone who's been disabled throughout their whole life, someone who's been begging for a living, is suddenly able to see, is suddenly restored, is suddenly able to go from having to sit outside and beg to now actually being able to go and work. And his life changed. Like, it changed radically. He went from someone who, as I said, would sit and beg to someone who's got the confidence to stand up and confront the Pharisees. That's what he actually does. His life is so radically different because Jesus has healed him. And when he confronts the Pharisees, they get so angry that they kick him out of the temple. What I mean by that is they excommunicate him. They say, "You are no longer a good Jew. You are no longer allowed to be part of our community of faith." Now, if these guys are the shepherds, what sort of shepherds are they? Was that loving? Was that caring? Was that looking after the sheep? Well, you see, one of the things Jesus does in telling this story is he's reminding the Pharisees of something that Ezekiel had written many, many years earlier. Because Ezekiel had written about 600 years earlier to the Jewish religious leaders. And this is what he wrote from Ezekiel 34. "The word of the Lord came to me, 'Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally." See, when Jesus is talking to the Pharisees in John chapter 10, he's actually reminding the religious leaders that they are just like their predecessors of 600 years ago. They haven't changed. They're still doing the same things. They are not interested in what's best for the people. They're more interested in what's best for them. They're no longer caring for the people. They're no longer caring for the weak. For the one who is blind or sick, they don't go out with compassion and love and care. In fact, when someone who has been sick, someone who has been disabled gets healed, what do? Kick him out. Where's the love and care and compassion in that? So Jesus is saying to them, you are just like your forefathers. You're just like your predecessors. They take someone who was in the family and they make him astray. What's interesting is that Ezekiel was writing this at a time that was about the time when those Jewish leaders would actually see their beautiful Jerusalem destroyed by the Babylonians, and they would be taken into exile or killed. And Jesus is saying to them, hang on, be aware of what you're doing and how you're living. So he tells this story, and you know what? They didn't get it. They didn't join the dots. They didn't see the connection. So although this whole passage today is based around Ezekiel 34, Jesus decides he'd just better tell them straight. He decides that it's best just to be up front and say, all right, I am the gate for the sheep. This is now Jesus' third I am statement. Jesus has already said that I am the bread of life. He's already said I am the light of the world. Now he comes out and says, I am the gate. And then a couple of verses later, he goes on and says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Now, let's go back to this imagery that Jesus has just used as he's told this story, a bit like a parable, to the religious leaders. And to help us understand it, because being a sheep farmer in Australia is very different to being a sheep farmer in the Middle East, back then or still today. In Australia, when we muster a mob of sheep, we use dogs, and we'll either be following behind on a quad or a motorbike or a horse. And we drive the sheep in front of us. That's the way that it is done. But in the Middle East still today, the shepherd doesn't drive the sheep from behind, they lead from in front. They teach the sheep their voice. And as the sheep have come to trust the shepherd, as they've come to know the voice of the shepherd need only speak and the sheep trail out behind. And then each night, after the sheep had been out in the pasture throughout the day, the shepherd would lead the sheep from the pastures into a sheepfold. And a sheepfold was usually round, sometimes rectangular structure, stone walls, and the walls would be several feet high, high enough that a wolf could not easily jump over the top, or high enough that a thief could not climb in and still climb out holding a struggling sheep. And so this sheepfold would be a place where the sheep could go in, and then they would mix with all of the other sheep of the region. So all the sheep that had been out with different shepherds throughout the day would all come into the one sheepfold overnight. But the next morning, because the sheep know the shepherd's voice, they would simply call out their sheep. And the sheep would then follow them because they know the shepherd's voice. They would separate from the rest of the sheep, form their own mob, and follow the shepherd. But because the shepherd had been busy all day, out looking after the sheep on the pasture, wandering, walking, when they came back at night, they were tired. And so either the different shepherds would take a roster or they would employ someone else to take the night watch. Now, what the night watch consisted of was, once all the sheep were in the fold, the gatekeeper, as they were called, would have a few responsibilities. They would lie in that entrance. That entrance was also the exit. It was the only way to get in or out. And so they would lie there and they became the gate or the gatekeeper. And so the sheep could not come out of the fold. Wild animals could not come into the fold. They would have their ear open as well so that they could hear what was going on around. And if in the morning when someone came in, they had the authority to say, yes, you're a shepherd, you may come in and get your sheep. No, you're a stranger, you do not have authority, you may not enter. And so they played these roles of protecting the sheep that were in from animals coming in from outside or from strangers that might otherwise try and enter. And so when Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep, this is what he's referring to. And he says, all who've come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They'll come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus says, I am the gate. Not a gate. Not one of many gates. The sheepfold had one gate. Jesus said, that's me. I am the gate. I'm the only way to God. There are not multiple ways to God. Others have come before me declaring that they might be the prophet or they might be the Messiah, but they were not. The only way to come to God the Father is through Jesus Christ the Son. Only those who choose to put their faith in Jesus can come to God. And as they do that, they discover there's freedom. That's what this expression is, that they will come in and go out. It's referring to the fact that the sheep can easily go in or out in safety, knowing they are under the care and the guidance of the shepherd. If you like, another term that's often used in Scripture is as you go. As you go about in the everyday of life, you know that your shepherd is there looking after you, and therefore you can live with abundance. You can live with freedom and life. And see, again, what Jesus does here is he's actually creating this imagery in language that they knew and understood. But he's again basing it off Ezekiel 34. Because this is what Ezekiel 34 says. I, this is God speaking, I will tend them in good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they'll lie down in good grazing land, And there they'll feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I'll search for the lost and bring back the strays. I'll bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. See, not only does Jesus declare that he's the gate, he also has just demonstrated it. What I mean by this is a blind beggar's life has just been radically transformed by the ministry of Jesus, by the words and actions of Jesus. This man has just received his sight, but also we saw that he came to put his faith in Jesus. He received sight and salvation. How good's that? And with that, he discovered freedom. He discovered that as he would come in and go out in this new way of life, that there was a freedom he had in Christ. Because he was no longer bound by this religious structure that he'd been part of. He was no longer bound by what his parents had been fearful of. Because when his parents were brought before the leaders of the Pharisees, they threatened them and they said, oh, we're not game to speak against that. You ask our son. He'll tell you. Because they were fearful of that restrictive, constrictive religious system. But this man had just been healed. He was set free of that. He had the freedom and the courage to be the person that God had made him to be. Because you see, when Jesus heals, he radically transforms people's lives and offers them freedom. And this is what Jesus says. He says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They'll come in and go out and find pasture. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Does that sound good? Yes. Sounds very good, doesn't it? And then Jesus launches straight into his next I am statement, the fourth one. There's only seven in John's Gospel, and he puts two of them within a very short space of time. He says, I am the good shepherd. And by now, if the religious leaders were starting to feel uncomfortable, Jesus put the screws on. He just ratcheted it up. In Ezekiel 34, it says this, I'll place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. King David became king in 1003 BC. Ezekiel was writing this in about 571 BC, about 430 years after David had been king. So how could it be then that my servant David would tend them when he'd been dead for well over 400 years? Why? Because when it talks about David, it's talking about the descendant of David who would be the Messiah. It's talking about the root of David, the branch of David, the one who would be the Messiah as a descendant of David. So when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and you think back to Ezekiel 34 where it says, I will place over them one shepherd, my servant, the Messiah. And Jesus says, guess what, guys? I'm the Messiah. This really confronts them. This really makes them ask a whole lot of questions about themselves. So what do we know about Jesus as the Good Shepherd? Well, we know as the Good Shepherd, he said, I know my sheep. In that story he told earlier, he said, I'm not a hired hand who clocks on and at the end of the day clocks off and goes home and forgets about it. He says, I know my sheep. I care for them. I know them by name. And they know my voice. That when I speak to them, they'll hear. They'll respond. They'll follow me. And not only does he know their name, he knows their age. He knows their colour. He knows their personality or sheepanality. He knows them well. He knows whether they're timid, shy, or whether they're pushing the limits. Because sheep do that too, you know. Just like we do. And then Jesus says another really confronting thing. He says, I'm not just a shepherd for the Jews. Because he goes on and says, I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice and there'll be one flock and one shepherd. He's saying here, I have come that there be salvation for all of humanity, not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles as well. For those who've come from another sheep station, I'll look after all of them. They'll hear my voice. Those who put their faith in Jesus that come through that gate become as one under one shepherd. That's what Jesus is saying. Salvation is available for all of humanity. For those who choose to follow, we're his flock. That means we're like sheep. He calls us sheep. John chapter 10 is the last time Jesus teaches publicly. After this, all of his teaching will actually be with just his disciples. This is his last public address. So if this was the last time that a politician was to stand up and speak before the day of the election, do they just mutter a few insignificant things? Maybe they do. But that's not their intent. They're going to try and summarise or tell you the big things. And so this is Jesus' last public event. And so he wants to tell them all of the key things that are going to happen as a result of him being the Messiah. So he's just said, I am the Messiah of Ezekiel 34. He says, I am the only way to God. Oh, by the way, there will be others who aren't Jews who will come to God through me. Oh, by the way, I'm going to die. But that's not the end of the story. You don't get rid of me that easily. I'm going to come back again. There'll be a resurrection. Jesus hits him with everything. You see, his love for the sheep is so wholehearted, it's so encompassing, that rather than let his sheep wander and stray and get hurt, he gives up his life for them. This is what he says. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Do you hear that? Jesus has authority. He has authority to voluntarily lay down his own life. You see, if he was to die, who would continue to look after the flock? He says, I've got authority to pick up my life again. I'll come back. I will continue to care for my sheep. My life will not finish with crucifixion because it will continue with resurrection. I will choose to die for my sheep. I'll do so without having sinned. And I will rise again. You see, it's too easy to read the Gospels and get through to this part and feel this incredible injustice, and it is unjust, what the Pharisees do to Jesus. And we can think there's a political plot there. We can think that they've somehow orchestrated that whole event. We can think about the way that the people of Jerusalem, who were aligned with the Jewish leaders, responded when they cried out, crucify him, crucify him. And we can think that all of that's just happening at the end, but it's not. Here's Jesus, still quite some time before the crucifixion, and he is publicly declaring, I am going to voluntarily lay down my life. It's actually my choice to do this because I love you so much. And I'll take it up again. I will come back to life. And the Jewish leaders now didn't know what to do with it. They'd become divided as to what was going on. They couldn't get their head around it. Jesus, this guy before them has just said, I am the Messiah. There'll be Gentiles who you don't like, who are going to come into my kingdom, who are going to become my sheep. I'm going to die for my people that I would save them. I'm going to rise again and I'm going to lead them into freedom. I mean, if that's not a summary of everything that Jesus is going to do for us, and Jesus just says it in these few short words. And those who are listening just can't get their head around it. They can't comprehend what he's saying. And so some of them respond, he's demon-possessed, raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? See, as I said a couple of weeks ago, that as we go through the Old Testament, the prophets had done, before him, had done all the miracles that Jesus did except for one, which was to open the eyes of the blind. That was something that was never recorded in the Old Testament. And so they saw this fact that Jesus had done this incredible miracle that no one else had done, and they were just stuck on that. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? And they'd heard what Jesus had just said, and they were joining the dots, and they were going, hang on, this lines up with Ezekiel 34. There's more to this Jesus than maybe we've understood yet. And they didn't know what to do with that. They were divided. So that was the response of the Jewish leaders. The question we've got to be asking ourselves is, what's our response? What are we going to do? And because many of you here, already know Jesus, you've already made that decision to place your faith in him, that he is the gate, he is the only way to the Father, you know that. You know his voice, you hear his voice. And so it'd be easy to preach a salvation message from here, but because so many of you have already made that faith commitment, let's look at what it means for us to be sheep. For us to, as we walk in relationship with God the Father. Because you see, Jesus gave up his life voluntarily for us. He took it up again. And he's the one who is our shepherd. And those who have come from a rural background or are familiar with a rural background know that there are different seasons and different aspects of a day and different aspects of a week or a month, or as we know at the moment, there's a long, long season of drought. Well, let's look at some of these seasons of life, because there will be seasons where Jesus is going to call you to follow his voice to take you into the sheepfold. And Jesus says, come into the sheepfold because it's safe there. And I'm going to lie across the gate because I am the gate. And I'm going to make sure that no one else who's strange comes in, because there are times where you've just got to rest. You've been doing it hard. You've been out there. You've been doing all this stuff. And he says, just come follow me. You need a season of rest. Come into the fold. Be safe. Be with me. But Jesus also said that when he is the gatekeeper, the sheep can come in and go out in safety because he's their shepherd. And so there'll be times where Jesus takes us into the pastures and says, enjoy it. The feed's good. It's good water. And this is a season where you're hungry for the things of God. This is a season where you want to just devour the Word of God. You want to read God's Word. You've got a passion for it. You want to spend time in prayer. And you're listening to what God is saying. And you're talking with God. You're communing with him. And it's an incredible season. And you're growing. And you're growing and maybe even getting a bit fat on the Word. Because you're just taking so much in. And there are seasons for that. There's seasons where it's important that we actually have a little bit extra on us, because we mightn't always have time for that in the way that we might desire or might be good for us. These are times of joy. We grow, we get slick, we want to frolic and leap with joy. It's a great time. There are times where we wander off. We get distracted. We get distracted by the things of the world. Maybe we get distracted by our kids. Maybe we get distracted by work. Maybe we get distracted by social media. Whatever it is, your hobby, your sport, And we suddenly find ourselves somewhere where we had not planned to be. The challenge is that we're actually looking at the grass that was greener on the other side. We're actually following and moving towards another pasture. And we're going, oh, I can still see that one. Yeah, I'll have a bit of a chat with the shepherd, but I reckon I'm still safe here. As long as I'm within earshot. Well, I think I can still see him. See, that's the challenge when we start to wander. And there are seasons where we wander and the shepherd is still there calling us. Hey, come back. Over here. It's time to come into a place of safety. It's time to come back closer to me. You'll be safer there. And then there are times where sheep get attacked. As I was reflecting on this, I thought about the fact of David. David was a good shepherd, as I understand it. When I read the 23rd Psalm, he understood what it meant to be a shepherd. When I read other passages where he talks about the shepherd imagery, it's clear that he's a good shepherd. And yet, if he was such a good shepherd, why did his sheep get attacked by the lion and the bear? Because they did. He saved them. He went and attacked the lion and the bear and killed them and saved his sheep. But nevertheless, his sheep got attacked. There will be seasons in life where you will come under spiritual attack. Not because you're doing anything wrong, but because the enemy is angry and upset because you're doing something right. There will be seasons where you will get very tired. Sometimes it's because you've been wandering. Sometimes it's because you've been pushing really hard to do some really good stuff. There will be times where it will be difficult. It could be spiritual attack. It could be emotional attack. Where circumstances all just collided against you in a really bad mix. Not because you did something wrong, but because maybe someone else did. It's a bit like at the moment here. We're talking about fires. We're talking about drought. It's a tough season. And yet in every one of these cases, the shepherd is still there caring. The shepherd continues to call out for you and says, here I am. Come, follow me. Hear my voice. Listen to me. This is what he says. But let's change the word sheep. He calls his own people. He calls each of you. And he'll lead you. And when he's brought you out through him, because he's the only one, he will go ahead of you. And we can follow him because we will know his voice. That's what he's offering to us. And so as we finish today, ask yourself, where are you? Are you in that place of rest in the sheepfold? Or is that maybe where the shepherd's calling you to be and you're actively resisting? Are you wandering off? Are you in the good paddock where there's plenty of feed, plenty of water? Are you under attack? Maybe there's some other scenarios or pictures. But wherever you are, know this, Jesus knows where you are. And he's still talking to you. He's still calling out to you. And our response is to follow him. So ask yourself, let's take some time to reflect. And to talk to the Lord about this. What did God say to me today? It might be just one word. Rest. Feed up. Recover. Whatever the word is, whatever the sentence is, whatever that picture is, take a moment. If you want to pull out your phone and jot it down, make some notes, do that. And if you realise you've been in the wrong paddock or in the wrong place, talk to God about that. And ask, what will I do with what I've heard? Or give thanks that you are right where you're meant to be. Maybe that's your response, is one of thankfulness. But what will I do with what I've heard?
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07 46 36 11 44, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.